Hello, everyone. Well, the Ball State softball team continued to play this weekend, and they were hoping to continue off of their straight 3 out of 4 losses. And so we'll take a look and see how that happened. They started off good, but then eventually the Ball State women's team shot down and ended up doing poorly. Oh, no. And it's working. Okay. We're going to continue on now. The Ladies Cardinals will play an Iowa tournament starting this Friday. Before the Ball State baseball team kicks off its conference season this weekend, the Cards will battle an in-state rival, Indiana, tomorrow. Tomorrow's game will be the meeting between the two, beating both... First... Hoosiers are on the 4-on on the year, and they have won 6 of its last 7 games. Tomorrow will be the game 3 at 3 p.m. Switching to Ball State men's tennis, it seems last week player on... It seems every week they have a player... Matt Lawrence is the latest Cardinals tennis player to win the award. Lamar won all the singles and doubles matches last week. So far, the Cardinals have had a player honored on the weekly awards. 7 out of the 9 weeks. The Cards will play at Boise State Invite this weekend. The Indiana Pacers are looking for a measure of revenge tonight against the New Jersey Nets and to strengthen their playoff hopes. The Nets won the last Sunday's matchup 94-85, which left the Pacers one game behind the Chicago in the 7th series spot. Let's check out the highlights. Steven Jackson's David... Reggie Miller's looking good. He shoots a 3, and it's good. Later, he gets the rebound, passes it to the man, shoots it, and boom goes the dynamite.
Pre-recorded live from Pennsylvania and Nebraska, U.S. of A., it's the Bob and Elvis Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Elvis Dingledean.
Coming to you for our very good friends, our sponsors, Hoffman Beverages, Matzahs by Streitz for the unleavened experience of a lifetime. Martin Paints, and ain't just paints. And joining us today, proudly a new sponsor called Bye Bye Hair. It is the only depilatory.
The following podcast contains harsh language, nudity, graphic violence, adult situations, and a healthy obsession with empirical reality.
Right.
The Bob and Elvis Show.
That opening had to be a tribute to Newt Gingrich this week, right?
There you go. Exactly.
Did I nail that? Is that why you did that?
Yeah, that's exactly why I did it. I was like, I got to find something appropriate to a meltdown. And the greatest bit of audio meltdown, I think, in the history of YouTube is that, I don't know, as a college sportscaster, it's one of those things where you wonder if he's having a stroke or... You know, there's been a few of those lately, and I forget what the disorder is called, where a newscaster has started just speaking utter gibberish. There's some...
No, yeah.
It's like either a waking, like a lucid migraine headache where they don't feel the pain, but they're experiencing the symptoms.
Yeah.
I forget what that's called.
I have them all the time. Mostly on the show.
Mostly on the show, where you speak gibberish. I love it when there's sections of it where he begins to pick up a little momentum and then he just crashes and burns again.
Boom goes the dynamite.
And then boom goes the dynamite at the end.
Shake that kid's hand.
I love it. And so I wanted to also add a coda to our discussion of SNL from last week. We were talking about the 1984, the great, fantastic 1984 season of SNL with Billy Crystal and Christopher Guest and Martin Short and all those guys. And the problem here is that it's nowhere to be found online. I mean, NBC must have scoured every website on the internet, including YouTube, and just removed all of that stuff where you can find. I found The Question Is Moot on like Daily Motion or something like that.
Did you find it?
Yeah, I found it on Daily Motion, posted it the next day and on the blog. And but that was like the only thing. And then I found a small clip of Joe Franklin, but not the clip that you heard, which I had to go to Netflix. Netflix has the like basically every episode of Saturday Night Live ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you just go to the SNL 1980s and then choose season 10 and you can watch all, I think it's 15 or 16 episodes of
streaming.
That. Oh, yeah.
Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's what I'm doing tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Go right to the Kathleen Turner episode.
Is that the one?
That's the one that's got Joe Franklin. It's got that. There was a sketch where Martin Short is playing like an old man, like an old dad, and his daughter comes home with this boyfriend played by Billy Crystal. And it just, the sketch disintegrates because they start laughing. The whole thing goes to hell. Martin Short is telling this story about Miss Havisham from Great Expectations or something and trying to hypnotize the boyfriend and keeps smacking Billy Crystal in the back of the head until his wig goes all cockeyed. And so they start cracking up over that. It's
Kathleen Turner, huh?
The Kathleen Turner episode.
Okay, I'll find that.
Yeah. And so that's on Netflix streaming. It's the only place I could find any of that stuff. You have to, it's on Hulu, but you have to pay in order to see it on Hulu.
Yeah, fuck Hulu.
Yeah, screw that. I mean, if you're on Netflix, why bother with Hulu?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not, yeah, Hulu had the perfect model until they made you start fucking paying for it.
Yeah.
Pissed me off because there's a bunch of NBC stuff that I wanted to catch up on. And all of a sudden, I have to be a premium member. Ooh, premium.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck you.
Right.
I've got this on network televisions. I'll just get smarter with my TiVo.
You know, I wanted to mention, too, that at the top of the show that it's been a seriously slow news week. I mean, it's
really. Oh, yeah. Nothing's happened.
You'll be able to tell by the content of the show as well.
Yeah.
And it was that way last week, I believe, too. But so, I mean, I really took the opportunity to make the final switch over to WordPress for the blog.
Yeah.
Which is frightening because I don't know what the hell I'm doing when it comes to all that crap.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very complicated process. There were all kinds of browser compatibility issues. There were all kinds of problems with comments. There is only one foolproof solution for running decent comments on a blog, and that's Discus. Now, I wanted to, I guess it's pronounced Discus, isn't it? Or it
should discuss.
Be discuss with a Q. But yeah, I mean, there's only one way to
discuss.
Imply the Q in verbal language.
Yes.
But it's, yeah, D-I-S-Q-U-S. And, discuss. Yeah. And it's great, other than the fact that it took me forever to migrate all of the old comments over to the new format. And it didn't look like it was working. So I was like giving up, and then I was uninstalling it and then trying something else and then saying, oh, that sucks too. That sucks even more. Like I was trying some other thing where you could add Facebook, but that wasn't working. So I would like install it again. I would install Discuss again and it still wouldn't work. Then I would uninstall it. So anyone who's trying to comment on the blog for a couple of days, you know, maybe Tuesday and Wednesday just weren't able to do it. It just was impossible. But I think I've got it all worked out now. So Discus works quite nicely now that I finally have it all imported and migrated and all that crap. But it's become clear to me that WordPress is like the Mac to movable types PC. I mean, there you got the plugins, you've got, I mean, it's really easy to work with. It's so slick and fast, and it's good for dipshits like me, tech weaklings who don't know what the hell they're doing, to kind of get a grasp of what's going on. Mm-hmm. So as I was able to get that all installed. So don't be afraid. The website looks brand new, but it's much faster. It's much cleaner. Really? I mean, what we've been talking about with regards to our living situation and clearing out our stuff, the most important thing to me was not necessarily the format of the blog, but just like cleaning up the site and making it just lightweight and easy to load and fast.
Exactly.
I mean, blogs don't need a bunch of shit all around it. I mean, it's just about, I mean, people come in, they want to look at the content quickly while their boss isn't looking at work and then move on. Quickly shut down their browser and erase their history. And if they can even get to our blog, because there's lots of profanity. But, you know, so I think in that regard, we were missing out on a lot of views because people weren't able to access it because it was taking forever to load and it was all cumbersome and it was full of crazy graphical configurations wrapping all around. And get rid of all that. Get rid of all that. Nice, nice. Lots of white space. And that's like clean layout and it's ready to roll. So
BobSeska.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's so for Biden.
Don't freak out. Don't worry if you go to the site and it looks like, I don't know, looks like not the site.
Yeah, it doesn't look the same.
Also, I wanted to announce, too, I've got, I wasn't entirely satisfied with your Elvis Might Be Gay music last week.
Oh.
So
it was perfect because it actually led to another Elvis Might Be Gay story.
Yeah. But.
So that was perfect.
Yeah. But I think this is actually better. I think we should use this.
Dancing Queen.
Dancing Queen by ABBA. The reason I picked this is as part of the ongoing
Newt Gingrich
meltdown thing. I don't know if you just saw the...
it's his ringtone, isn't it?
Yeah, it's his ringtone. That's so hilarious. Do you know anyone who would... Any guy who would... I mean, any straight man, at least.
Didn't G. Gordon Liddy love him some ABBA?
No, he likes one song. G. Gordon Liddy likes that Miami Vice theme. And that's it. Because he was on it. And so that became the theme show for... Or the theme song for his awful, awful radio show in which he spends an hour reading the newspaper. Literally.
And remember, he used to call them Group ABBA. Remember?
He did, really?
Yeah, Don and Mike used to shit on him about that all the time. Group ABBA.
Group
ABBA.
And he used to say that. I don't remember. How did I miss that? That's weird. That must have been a development that happened after I went away, where I wasn't being badgered by him. I've told the Letterman picture story on the air, haven't I?
I think so.
Where there was a picture of David Letterman on the wall of the newsroom. I'm going to stop the... ABBA music, thank you.
Yeah, because I'm really just getting massively aroused by.
Yeah, there was a Buzz had been sent a gift from a viewer, and it was a signed, framed photograph of David Letterman. It's like an 8x10 glossy of Letterman, and it was autographed by Letterman. So that's a rare thing. I don't know. David Letterman doesn't go around autographing a lot of pictures. He's just not that kind of guy.
Doesn't seem like him.
So it was kind of cool for Buzz to have that, and he put it up on the wall of the newsroom. Well, I was in there one morning, as I was every morning, tearing off AP news stories from the teletype.
The what now?
The teletype. Which
did you have to run down to the telegram office and?
Say, Mr. Burbank, I picked your news off of the teletype. Yeah, there was a teletype. This was 20 years ago. And so that's what I used to do every morning. I used to sort of sort through all of the AP news stories and get them ready and get sound, like audio clips ready from the satellite and get those ready for Buzz. Of course, all of that stuff can be done now via computer. So I'm sitting there. And I turn around, and who's standing in the doorway of the little news cubicle there but G. Gordon Liddy? I mean, those of you unaware, the same G. Gordon Liddy who was partly responsible for the Watergate break-in, one of the plumbers, the guy who went to prison because of it, and then when he got out of prison, he karate-chopped his Pinto.
Who hasn't karate chopped a Pinto?
That's true. But it was one of the Pintos that explode. So I don't know if you're going around karate chopping your Pinto. Because it would have exploded. But then again, he did burn his arm on a dare. And they asked him, what's the secret? He said, the secret is not minding.
Mm-hmm. And he ate rats.
And all that. So,
yeah,
is that G. Gordon Liddy, who's not allowed to use firearms. Not allowed to own a firearm. And previously he had talked about shooting ATF agents in the head. He had talked about having target practice on photographs of the president at the time, President Clinton. Mm-hmm. And I believe First Lady Hillary Clinton at the time as well.
One of John McCain's heroes.
One of John McCain's heroes. G. Gordon Liddy. Mm-hmm. And so
not at all a domestic terrorist.
There he is. And he's about, you know, so it was not, it's not that he's not physically intimidating because, you know, he's only about 3.5 feet tall. He's like a hobbit. He's like a bald, mustachioed hobbit. He's a little man. And so I'm fully expecting at this point, once it gets out to him that I'm making fun of him like this, there's going to be a hit. There's going to be a weird, I'm going to be stalked by weird, shadowy villains, mm-hmm. you know.
Trench coats.
Pulled
over their eyes.
That's right. Secret squirrel. Exactly. Yeah. And so this little man, G. Gordon Liddy, who's very, very scary, by the way. He might be little, but he's scary.
He is terrifying.
Yeah. He carries like a ninja blade in his sock or something. He's got
got one of those James Bond shoes.
Yeah.
You click open and it's, you know, a switchblade in there.
Yeah. He's got like a holster, right?
Nothing in it because he would go to federal prison if he owned a gun.
Well, what do you call it? A holster for a knife is a sheath? Is that what it is?
Or a scabbard, I guess, would just be for a sword. He didn't used to carry a sword, did he?
No. But it was a little.
A scabbard is specific to a sword.
It was like a little ninja blade.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, and so this is what I'm thinking. And there he is standing there in the doorway to the newsroom. And he goes, hi, Pockets! He called me High Pockets. High Pockets, because I'm tall.
Yeah, that's a decimating nickname.
High Pockets. I want to take that picture down. It's distracting. Every time I look over here, David Letterman is staring back at me.
You know, so he had an issue with the picture of David Letterman on the wall. So he wanted me to take it down. I said, Mr. Liddy, I'm sorry, it's not my picture to take down. I'm not responsible for it. Like, and then this, as I'm saying that, I'm going, what are you doing?
Don't argue with Liddy.
That's right. You do not oppose Liddy because as soon as he gets pissed off at you, it's just right in the neck.
His
ninja blade.
Yeah.
And so he was kind of flummoxed by the fact that I kind of said, yeah, sorry, I can't take it down. And so he just turned and walked away. And so, you know, of course, it was my duty then to inform the entire cast of the Don and Mike show of what happened. And Liddy hates this Letterman picture. So what me and Rob did is we made dozens upon dozens of Xerox copies. Xerox copies of the Letterman photo. Cut out the head and then put the heads like everywhere in the radio station.
Wow.
Like we taped them to the leaves of the fake ficus tree in the lobby. We put them between books, you know, in the men's room. Everywhere Liddy might go, we wanted that Letterman. We had a death wish of some kind. But, you know, we wanted everywhere that he went for him to see that Letterman head. And so the best one, I think, easily, was we blew it up really big, almost full size, cut it in half down the middle, like vertically, and put each half on each door of the, or inside door of the elevator. So that when Liddy got on the elevator that morning to come up from the parking garage, that elevator door would close and the two halves of Letterman's head would close and form a complete Letterman head right in front of Liddy's face.
and you lived to tell the tale.
Yes. And at eye level, by the way, which again was like 3.5 feet tall.
Crazy.
So yeah. So that was I don't recall any repercussions from that. Thank God, because you know,
well, you're not dead, so.
But I was watching my back, otherwise, you know, 3-foot Liddy would come up and stab my ankle, you know, with his ninja knife. So that was that. But I do think that I'm not even going to tell this story. There was a thing where, you know, imagine being in a bathroom stall, standing in a urinal, and suddenly Liddy walks up next to you and stands at the next urinal over.
I wouldn't be able to pee for months.
No. And that's exactly what happened to me.
I'd have to be catheterized.
I was unable to use the men's room in the presence of G. Gordon Liddy.
I just wouldn't be able to do it for days, period. I mean, no matter
where you went.
Yeah, I would just be, my ureter would shrivel to a piece of spaghetti-sized, you know, uncooked spaghetti-sized ureter. And my ureter has seen better days, my friend. Two things in the world you don't want a trainee to do to you. One is a haircut, and the other is a fucking catheter. And I had a trainee guy who had never done it before, and it was a guy, male nurse, put my very first catheter in, and let me tell you, buddy, not a pleasant experience.
Oh, my God.
Have you ever had a catheter?
No.
Oh, no. It's not pleasant. The way this particular apparatus operates is there's a tube that goes in your pee hole,
yeah,
and then there's a bulb, like a ball cock, if I can say cock, that inflates. But they ram up there far enough to get inside your, I don't know, whatever's in there, your bladder, and then they inflate this ball so that, you know, it stays in there. It's like it becomes bigger than the opening, and it gets stuck there. And this guy, let's just say this guy started inflating way too soon. And almost clawed his face off, like almost Hannibal Lecterized his face with my fingernails from that particular episode.
Yeah, I can imagine why you might have kind of jumped through the ceiling at that point.
Yeah, that was unbelievably uncomfortable. And that was my first of three run-ins with Mr. Texas Catheter there.
Yeah.
In the space of 6 weeks. So.
Well, I imagine anything going into that part of your body in, you know, actually inserted is going to be extraordinarily painful as performed by a professional.
Yes.
By someone who's done it 1,000 times.
Right. And this kid, he was 18, and maybe he had done it like twice on a cadaver. I mean, he was so, his hands were shaking. I mean, I remember waking up, this was before my first surgery, and I was dead asleep because I was, no, this was just, I'm sorry, this was just after my first surgery. So I was in post-op, I was a complete wreck. And I remember waking up to the sound of this guy's supervisor reading, telling him to read the instructions off the wrapper on the catheter. So it comes in like a, you know, a sterile wrapping thing. And the guy is reading the instructions. And I'm like, dude, find me a kid who doesn't need to read the fucking instructions before he rams this pipe in my pee hole. You know, find me somebody that can do this to fucking sleep. Because this is not something I want a trainee to do. But I was so completely out of my mind on drugs and in pain that I didn't really have the foresight to object.
Yeah.
And then it was just unbelievable pain for what felt like hours.
The operative question here is whether or not a man inserting a catheter into your penis warrants this.
It made me, yes, Dancing Queen, absolutely. That was the song that was playing in my head when he you know, I asked him if he could, you know, take me to dinner first or play me, you know. You know, give me a reach around, stroke the sack or something, you know.
Oh, God.
Anyway, that was, God. And by about the third week into my 6 week stay at Fort Belvoir's lovely, lovely military medical facility there, there was just no indignity left. I mean, everything that could have happened to a human body had happened. And I was just like, fuck it. I mean, I was to the point where I could throw up on an old woman's head and just have no, and just be like, yeah, you might want to clean that up.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just completely beyond caring.
Right.
It was brutal.
Yeah, I mean, you get to the point where you just shut off your dignity. There's just no more dignity left.
That's
you
right.
You can't, you can't conceive of objecting to anything anymore. You just resign yourself to the fact that you're just going to suffer whatever awfulness falls under your head, or in this case, your catheter.
Into my penis.
Into your penis.
Yeah.
So, but you didn't have to.
Speaking of penises, how about that Newt Gingrich?
Yeah, that Newt Gingrich. How about that, buddy? Yeah, or I thought you were going to say Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Stop whining.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't really care. I mean, you know, I think Bill Maher said it best on about Schwarzenegger on was on Chris Matthews. He said on Hardball, he said something effective. We all knew this. This shouldn't be alarming. We all kind of knew this. I mean, throughout that gubernatorial campaign, that first one, about 90 different women came out and said that, you know, he had tried to grope them.
Yeah. You can't have as much. Look, I'm sort of a doughy fat person. I'm not skinny and athletic like you, but when I do work out, and I have started again, when I start producing more testosterone from, because when you work out, I mean, you start producing this stuff naturally, and if you inject a lot of protein into your system, which I've been doing, it does change your brain chemistry. Like you start walking around like a fucking animal. Like you just, if you're really depleted on testosterone and you suddenly build it up, you just start acting differently. You're just acting more masculine, douchey. Like yeah. I'm kind of glad I probably have more estrogen than testosterone. That's probably absolutely true because I don't like myself. Like there was like 6 months where I was working out like every night and doing core stuff and squats. And I mean, I was a douche. I hated myself. My brain just didn't work right. And I can't imagine at Schwarzenegger's levels of testosterone, both injected and, you know, everything. And then just being that big and massive and testosterone-y, the San Francisco treat. I can't imagine that he wouldn't just be wanting to fuck everything and touching everything. And I can't imagine. There's no way. He probably has 35 illegitimate kids across the country, across the world. And fuck it. I don't care. I feel bad for Maria. I've always liked Maria because she's a Kennedy, sort of. But it's no big shock. And like, who cares?
So you prefer having the high estrogen?
I prefer the high estrogen.
The high estrogen. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop doing that. No. It's just shocking that he would be able to father anybody after all of the steroids that he's done.
Yeah, because
that
also, his tiny shriveled man.
That's right.
Yeah. But I can certainly see. I have absolutely no problem imagining that he could just not help himself from touching everything, and have to accidentally putting his Austrian beef steak into people.
That's right. Just,
his black plowman, because that's what Schwarzenegger means, black plowman.
Is that what it means? I had no idea.
Yeah, one of the greatest Letterman jokes ever. Right before Arnold was going to marry Maria, he was on David Letterman to promote Terminator 2. And so Dave asked him what Schwarzenegger means, and he said it means black plowman. And Dave said, "How do the Shrivers, how do the Kennedys feel about having a black plowman in the I remember that was 20 something years ago. I still remember that line, black plowman, Schwarzenegger. Yeah.
Well, see, as far as we can tell, I mean, he has groped a lot of women reportedly.
Oh yeah. Cannot keep his hands to himself.
And so that is not consensual. Evidently, this whole thing was consensual.
Oh yeah, obviously. I mean, yeah,
Which
I don't give a shit about the story.
Me neither.
I just don't give a rat's ass.
All I care about is that he continued to make more great movies like Total Recall.
Like Jingle All the Way. Yeah.
Jingle All the Way. No, I didn't want to see. I want to see more movies like he was making. They're sort of that in that sweet spot of Schwarzenegger movies where he was making Total Recall and Predator and just all those schlocky.
Huge, but massive blockbusters.
Running Man. I mean, all of those movies where it was like one-liner after the next, and it was just Arnold being big and doofish.
Yeah.
See you
at the party, Richter!
See you at the party, Richter!
That's my favorite Schwarzenegger. See you at the party, Richter! And he throws the guy's arms, his severed arms, down to him. Oh my god, that movie was fucking fantastic.
I hope you leave enough room for my fist, because I'm going to ram it into your stomach and break your damn spine! That's my Schwarzenegger impression.
That was pretty good. That sounded like a clip.
Like a damn spine. Yeah.
What movie was that from?
That was Running Man.
Oh, yeah.
He's yelling at Richard Dawson in the screen, and then he bashes the screen.
But he was the biggest thing. For like 10 years, he just owned. He owned everything. I mean, every single movie he made was just fucking colossal. And then T2 came out and just blew everybody's mind.
Yeah.
I mean, do you remember how you felt coming out of T2 being like, oh, my God.
Yeah, it was huge.
What was that?
It was huge.
How did they even do that? So Cameron, you got to give it to Cameron. That son of a bitch is a master. He's a douche in real life.
Yeah, he is.
Like, I want to punch him. He's got a big, fat, ugly punch me face.
I can't figure out why Avatar was still such a great movie. I mean, such a huge, like,
well,
the number one.
The hell out of it.
You really liked it? I mean, I thought
it,
I thought it was good, but it wasn't.
Convert into the cult of, you know, like
the Na'vi. You aren't
right, the cult of the, yeah, and get a tail grafted onto me like all these freaks, and I didn't feel the need to see it twice, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too, but I don't see how it's the number one movie in the world ever.
Ever, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's surprising.
Highest grossing movie of all time.
Of all time.
Avatar.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Lucas wishes he could, you know, Lucas just scratching his monkey cranium over that. Like,
yeah,
he doesn't understand the difference between the horse dung that he puts on the screen and Cameron's. I mean, really, if you think shot for shot, it's basically, you know, all CGI, but Lucas just doesn't get it.
Yeah.
Just doesn't understand.
But Malia, I don't remember you. I don't remember me.
I love Total Recall. I still don't get that movie.
The greatest thing about Total Recall are the awful, awful latex rubber Arnold heads used throughout. Like when he pulls that probe out of his nostril.
Yeah, that's a horrible one.
It's clearly like a rubber mannequin Arnold where there's a real Arnold hand pulling this nodule, this rope, I don't know, it's like a metal probe, through his expanding the human nostril beyond the bounds of what it could ever handle, and then yanking that out. And then the other one opens up
when he's like holding on to it from the side with his arm like at a weird angle, and then the whole head opens up, and then
there's a plastic Arnold head inside of it. It's not supposed to be. I mean, but in the fiction of the movie, it's really Arnold, but it's actually one of those fake latex Arnold heads. And then the other one is when he's ejected into the atmosphere of Mars, and his eyes are bulging out. Yeah, yeah. And that's where I get this. My favorite impression to do of Arnold is just as I'm walking around, I like to do the Arnold struggling sound. This is my whole impression of Arnold involves me just going.
You know what the best fake latex thing in that whole movie was, though?
What's that?
Sharon Stone.
Yeah.
She was so fucking bad in that movie.
It was.
Oh, my God.
She was terrible.
So bad.
Yeah.
Classic bad.
I'm trying to recall what she was ever good in.
She was good in, she's pretty good in the first Space Against Him. Just because she was mostly naked the whole movie.
Yeah.
That movie's an embarrassment. Mm. If you're watching that, like, Michael Douglas is just,
Yeah.
It's just creepy.
Paul Verhoeven wrote that or something? Yeah.
He did
Showgirls. Yeah. He also did Showgirls, didn't he? Is that the same guy?
Yeah, he's a total mess. But he also did.
He's a lech. So funny.
Anywho.
But anyway, so there's
Newt
Gingrich.
Are you talking about Newt Gingrich? Are you just going to ignore
him? Yeah. No, we're going to talk about Newt Gingrich. But
I actually said something about him, and Sullivan reprinted it, and I was so proud of myself.
Oh, no way. Well, we're going to talk about soap first, and we'll get right into it.
Oh, fucking soap.
Well, yeah, we got to talk about soap. This is, of course, the Bubble Genius Bob and Elvis show. I'm Bob. That's Elvis. Show today brought to you by Bubble Genius, as it is every week. At bubblegenius.com. That's bubblegenius.com. It's National Bike to Work Week, so that means you've got to take care of your goodies, and Bubble Genius has just the product.
Hey guys, I know I don't say this enough, but I'm going to say it now. When push comes to shove, you guys are always there for me, and you really hung in there, and you've always been so close to me. So, don't take this the wrong way, but I got you something. I love you guys!
Aw, we love you too!
It's National Bike to Work Week, so make sure you're stocked up on I Love You Guys NAD Powder from Bubble Genius. Your guys will thank you.
BubbleGenius.com.
Shove Bob and Elvis into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Mm-hmm. Subscribe to the Bob and Elvis Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Yeah, it's make sure to enter your promo code Bob and Elvis, BOBANDELVIS. Get 15% off your entire order at bubblegenius.com. And in case you were just half paying attention, that was a guy talking to his balls.
Yeah.
Just want to make that clear.
Yeah.
This guy talking to his ball. And they have that I love you guys ball talk that you can
which you're a big fan of.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're a bike rider like me, you gotta take care of the whole taint region, because otherwise it can just, you know, rapidly disintegrate into like hamburger and you'll end up getting a Elvis Dingledine catheter.
Mm-hmm. In your pee hole.
That's right. But so Newt Gingrich, so you tweeted something about Newt Gingrich and Andrew Sullivan posted?
No, I sent Sullivan an email. Oh. Like I want to do every, you know, I send him one every 45, 50 mm-hmm. seconds, hoping to be a reader, said. And, you know, he has millions of readers and probably tens of thousands of emails, and I've never had one published until the Gingrich thing. Because I was so – Sunday morning – and I've never – it's so funny because I've stopped since Russert died. Literally have not been watching Meet the Press because it's fucking pointless.
Mm-hmm.
Gregory is the milquetoastiest, most pointless human being with a microphone in the universe. So I just don't see the point of Meet the Press. It just be called, hey, here's an asshole talking, and David Gregory's going to put a microphone in his mouth. That should be the title of the show. And it just happened that I had it on this Sunday, and there's Newt with this giant head, and he's talking, and he starts this bullshit about the food stamp president. That's not at all racist, of course. But he's talking about the food stamp president.
Yeah.
And what pissed me off was that he said, you know, they were talking about the unemployment rate. And Gregory asked some question about the unemployment rate, and Newt used that to go right into this whole thing about the food stamp president. And I was just pacing back and forth and just yelling at nobody. It was just me. It was just yelling at the screen.
Yeah.
And so I decided to write it down and send it to Sully, and I did, and he printed it, and he said another writes, and I was very excited about that.
Oh, that's great! Congratulations.
Yeah, I said I was less galled by Newt's saying of the thing, which was the food stamp president thing. I said I was less galled by Newt's saying of the thing as I was by David Gregory's complete failure to challenge the idea of it when the very conversation that allowed Gingrich to parade his latent racism was talk of high unemployment rates. Food stamps as a conservative dog whistle almost makes sense to me in a thriving Clinton-esque economy where jobs are plentiful and a few leeches surface to suckle from our shared prosperity. Ooh, I said suckle. But David Gregory sat there and allowed Newt Gingrich to demonize government food assistance in an economy in which almost 1 in 10 Americans is out of work. What sort of country do we live in where a candidate for president of the United States can rally citizens to his banner with cries of less food for the hungry, even if that cry is coupled with more jobs for the jobless? So I'm awesome.
That's right.
I don't get that, though. What? How can – it's food. It's food. Food stamps means free food for people that need fucking food. Who is against that? The food stamps president. Biden might be like, yeah, bitches, I'm going to have a food stamp fucking press conference. We're going to talk about nothing but food stamps. Because it's like, you know what it is now? It's like a little book with coupons. It's a credit card. And the only thing you can buy with it is food.
That's right.
You can't buy booze. You can't buy diapers. You can't buy dog food. All you can buy is food with this card. I know people on it. I know people whose lives depend on it. Literally. I know people whose lives depend on this thing. And this little fuckhead is going to demonize it as if giving free food to fucking hungry people is a bad thing. And make it a racist dog whistle. Fuck you, Newt Gingrich. Sack of crap.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I hate that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, so even before he melted himself down by shitting on Paul Ryan's bullshit, you know, healthcare or budget that shits on Medicare, even before that, I hate that guy.
Yeah, so I mean, let's go through everything from the past couple of days. I mean, the Newt Gingrich, for some reason, is the biggest story of the week.
Yeah.
So here's what he said, a couple of things that he said over the last several days. Let's just recap. I don't think right-wing social engineering is any more desirable than left-wing social engineering. I don't think imposing radical change from the right or the left is a very good way for a free society to operate. I think we need a national conversation to get a better Medicare system with more choices for seniors. Mm-hmm. So that pissed off all varieties of wingnuts. Because he's calling...
Well, it was the whole social engineering thing, you know, yeah. Just totally threw them off. Mm-hmm. And a national conversation... You don't go from a very specific, even if this plan sucks and is ridiculous like Ryan's, you don't go from a very specific blueprint like that which is why Republicans love it, just because it's written down, it's on paper, and they think that's awesome. Like, oh my God, he wrote it down. Oh my God. You don't go from that to we need to have a national discussion.
Yeah.
National discussion is what you have before you come up with this massive blueprint that Ryan's got.
Yeah.
So that's just fucking retarded that he even said that. Oh, we have to have a national discussion. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He went on to say, I'm against Obamacare, which is imposing radical change, and I would be against a conservative imposing radical change. Mm-hmm. So there's the whole idea, you know, Wing Nutty completely erupted because he was describing conservatives using the word radical. You know, which is weird. Now, like, somehow the Republican Party has moved so far right that Newt is in the middle. Newt Gingrich. It's unbelievable. And then what you were talking about before with regards to this dog whistle. You want to be a country that creates food stamps, in which case, frankly, Obama's an enormous success. The most successful food stamp president in American history.
Yeah.
Or do you want to be a country that creates paychecks?
I want to be a country that creates paychecks. But in the meantime, in 9-point-something% unemployment, I'd kind of like poor people to eat.
That's right. But again, this is the party that isn't making any apologies for cutting WIC, for God's sake, which is basically right. food stamps for pregnant women, women who have just had children,
right.
have just had a baby, and they want nutritious food, and they can't afford it, so they go on the WIC program. And the Republicans have cut that.
Oh, yeah.
So there's no wonder. But, I mean, obviously.
Pregnant women eating.
Yeah. But obviously, this is another part of Newt Gingrich's Southern strategy. On top of the fact that, you know, as you said, you know, this has really nothing to do with what President Obama is doing. The economy was the way it was.
Right.
And it's actually getting better. It's actually improving.
Right. But, and has pretty much every quarter since he took office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then I believe we've got audio here of Sarah Palin defending Newt Gingrich's food stamp.
No. Please don't.
There's like a trend popping up. There's like every Republican who steps to the forefront of the Republican nomination process makes an ass out of themselves, disgraces themselves, and then goes away. Mm-hmm. And Sarah Palin's there somehow to defend them.
But Gingrich did it like the day after he announced. I mean, it was immediate.
Yeah.
I mean, he can't get out of his own way. It was just so immediate and retarded. Oh my God, it was the worst launch ever.
Yeah. Again, this is the first several days of the campaign.
Yeah.
Imagine what it's going to be like. I mean, we're nowhere near the Iowa caucus. Can you imagine what the next year is going to be like? I mean, it's what we've got 6 months.
They're grasping so hard.
So, son of a bitch. You know what? I'm going to shut that off. You know what? If you're running a video service and you put an ad at the front of your video, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because guys like me.
It just pops up and runs like that with audio, fuck you, in the ear.
Exactly. Because, you know, what if I was, you know, I had a child and that child was trying to go to bed or something like that, and suddenly this ad starts blaring.
Yeah.
I want to be able
it's
to.
It's like 10 years ago when every fucking personal website had a MIDI player that would kick on that, you know, you go to like some site and they'd be like, bah, oh, fuck, it scared the shit out of you.
Shut up. So I'm not even going to play that. Suffice to say, Sarah Palin defended Newt Gingrich's food stamp remark.
Was this on Hannity the other night?
This is on, of course, it was on Fox News.
With her Hannity, where her skull looked so skinny and her hair was ginormous?
Yeah.
Didn't she look weird?
Yeah, it's so funny you said that because I was noticing that today, too. I was like what's wrong with her?
It's like one of those political cartoons where they take the top of the head and make it gigantic.
Yeah.
And then, like, Photoshop the jaw to get all narrow and weird. Uh-huh. It was like seeing her through, like, a top-down fisheye lens. It was really weird.
Yeah.
I normally can't look at her in general, but that made it just really painful.
Yeah, her head looked really bulbous and her neck looked tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looked like a bad CGI of Sarah Palin. It was really good.
Just speaking of weird heads on Palin's. Did you see Bristol Palin's awful, awful plastic surgery?
I didn't think it was that bad. I mean, she I think it's awful that she thought she had to get it. I mean, she looked perfectly fine before.
Well, that's
she
what had I mean.
Fucking jaw chiseling and veneers and all kind of, yeah, she really got some work done.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of work.
A lot of work, yeah. And that's, I don't understand these Christianist, crazy Christianists who get plastic surgery. It's, God made you that way, sweetheart. Hmm. There's somebody in the immediate family who's just couldn't be a holier roller, and she got her tits done. And I'm like, hello? And she's married. I understand that. Hmm. Married. You got a guy. He didn't give a shit about your tits. Married you. But she couldn't be more Jesus, a bigger Jesus freak. Got her tits done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Must be, intelligent design, right, honey?
Mm-hmm.
Really designed you intelligently.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand
that. God is God. He would go, oh, I'm God. In 30 years, she's going to want bigger tits. I better just give it to her here so she doesn't have to have life-threatening invasive surgery. That's what I would do if I was God. I would definitely just sit around all day thinking about tits if I was God, because I could just invent like a giant. I could just have like just a, I could make a woman who's just nothing but a giant tit. But if I'm God, I'd be like, you know what? 30 years from now, she's going to want to have her body sawn, carved open and things stuffed in there. So I'm going to save her that particular problem, and I'm just going to give her ginormous tits.
Right.
That's intelligent design to me. Mm-hmm. God giving people tits. preemptive boob jobs on God. That's an intelligent designer.
Yeah. I just don't understand the whole idea of plastic surgery. Unless you've got some sort of disfiguring injury or
You ever get those mailers from Smile Train?
No, I don't.
With the kids with the cleft.
Oh, yes. Oh, God. Please, no more of that on the on the internet.
Exactly.
Please.
No more of that. Peanut cried for 3 days. Got a stack of mail. She loves to go to the mailbox. Poor little thing. She's like four. A couple of years ago, she's 4 years old, loves to go to the mailbox. So we go to the mailbox, pull out a big stack, right on top, Smile Train. Kid with his face basically cut, carved right in half, right on the top of the, right on the outside of the envelope. Ugh. And she had nightmares for weeks. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck, Smile Train? Yeah. Oh, my God. Just giant. I mean, I feel sorry for these kids, and I'll donate, but just come on. You don't need a giant open palette on your envelope.
Yeah. Or in my Hotmail internet account. Thank you.
Right. Or in a leaflet in a magazine that's just going to fall out and startle me. Yeah.
I mean, it's a horrible, horrible thing. I mean, I can't even imagine what, not only obviously the child's suffering, but also the parent's suffering as they're waiting for this great moment and the baby comes out and he's got this horrible, cleft lip and so I mean just terrible, terrible thing all around.
I don't want to see it on my mailer like that.
Yeah, hard to look at.
I mean, put it inside. Yeah. Give me a little warning. I mean, my little innocent, awesome baby daughter nightmares for weeks about this kid with his face half falling off.
Yeah. Oh. So here's Newt Gingrich with the weirdest thing that I believe he said all week. This is also on Fox News Channel, which has obviously become the clearinghouse. Every Republican candidate basically can do a free advertisement for him or herself on Fox News Channel, which somehow is legal. Thank you, Citizens United. And here's Newt Gingrich. This is the weirdest goddamn thing.
Any ad which quotes what I said on Sunday is a falsehood. And because I have said publicly, those words were inaccurate and unfortunate, and I'm prepared to stand up. And when I make a mistake, and I'm going to on occasion, I'm going to stand up and share with the American people that was a mistake, because that way we can have an honest conversation.
You know, he didn't blurt out the F word on Meet the Press. He went into a detailed discussion in terms of what he believes is the right way to service health care, which he basically described the individual mandate.
Right.
He basically also described the Paul Ryan plan as being radical social engineering.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's not even that he made that, he said that in sort of stream of consciousness, and then he backed it up. He said,
you know, I don't think it's any better on the right than it is from left. So that's a well thought out. I mean, that was a thought that was put together, you know, statement and then, you know, justify it, back it up. It was a well-crafted thought.
Yeah.
He just that's how politically clueless he is as to the temperature of the party that he thinks he's running for.
And nor was he all fumbly about it, too. Nor is he just sort of searching and digging for something to say, and then suddenly he blurts out.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Boom goes the dynamite. It wasn't like that guy.
No.
He meant to say all of that.
Of course he did.
Because he's a doofus. I mean, you know, what he was saying was actually, you know, we could make a case exactly the same as that. Because he was suddenly being the Newt Gingrich that we saw in that commercial a couple of years ago, in which he's sitting on a couch with Nancy Pelosi in front of the Capitol building saying we need real climate change legislation. We need to do something now about climate change. That was suddenly reasonable Newt Gingrich, if that's even possible, emerged on Meet the Press this week, and all he's done is stumble over his big pumpkin head.
Yeah,
you know, trying to walk it all back and thread a needle, and you know, everyone on the wingnut right is just ripping into him. And you got to give him this though. He had the balls to go on Limbaugh today. I mean, he was on Rush Limbaugh today.
Oh my God!
And they had it out. I mean, Limbaugh. You know, Limbaugh is you know, he really wants to endorse these guys and support them unconditionally, but. He's like everyone
McCain
else.
In 2008. He had real problems with McCain.
Yeah,
it's hilarious. It's hilarious watching them go through these hoops.
Yeah,
this president has just beat the living shit out of these idiots.
And you watch Romney, Newt Gingrich is going to go down, and as soon as it's Romney's turn, he's going to get ripped through like with all of these same sorts of. You know, I didn't mean to say that, but I meant this other thing, and I've got to walk that back and soft pedal this and retract that and don't use this in my ads. It's because the same thing's going to happen with Romney. This is like a nonstop. Every time another clown tumbles out of the clown car, it's going to be this. I mean, we had Donald Trump. Next up is Newt Gingrich. You know, Huckabee.
Bachman will be next. She'll have an exploratory. Does she already have an exploratory? Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
She's got an exploratory committee.
Oh, she's going to run. And Sarah Palin was on Fox News Channel saying that she's still thinking about it. She's still talking to her family.
Talking to God.
Yeah.
She got to talk to God about it.
Talking to God. She's praying about it.
Yeah. Oh, so, it's a clown show. I still don't think we've seen who it's going to be. I don't think we've seen who it's going to be yet. They haven't found. There's some talk about Rick Perry out of Texas.
Oh, he'll be just as awful, though.
Well, of course. But I still don't think we've seen the demagogue, the capable. And if it happens before 2012, then that person, whoever it is, this player to be named later that we were not even on our radar yet, is going to be colossal. I mean, something to really be reckoned with. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, it is a fucking clown show.
It is
right now. It is an absolute clown show.
Well, here's
it's years and years. I mean, they're going through this pitiful base, and what they're doing is scrambling for something that has two things: some kind of charisma, you know, some kind of cult of personality enough to rally the base, and somebody that independents will take that. Independents look at as any kind of serious, you know, because whether they want to admit it or not, whether they'll ever say it out loud or not, this president is serious. He's serious about shit. He is a serious president.
That's right.
And they know that now. And they're going, oh my God, we just got nothing but hairdos. We've got nothing but whack-a-loons and clown car idiots.
Yeah. Well, here's
how it's just punishing them.
That's right. And it's that plus they have all misinterpreted the Tea Party movement. They have misinterpreted loudness for being volume, for being of volume meaning size. I mean, like they think just because the Tea Party is loud, they think that it's popular and therefore we have to mimic that. We have to be part of that. And so what's happening is, as a consequence of trying to be more Tea Party-ish, all of these guys are getting entirely kerfuffled because they're saying these crazy radical things, and then they have to backpedal and dance their way around it now because everyone's beginning to realize that the whole Tea Party thing does not work on the national stage. It does not work in presidential politics because that's where it gets serious. And we're not screwing around. We're not playing grab ass in a town hall meeting. We're not playing grab ass at the, you know, at the state legislature level. This is presidential politics. And you cannot mimic that kind of radical, ridiculous, very nonsensical and self-contradictory, you know, Tea Party bullshit on Meet the Press. You're just not going to get away with it. As much as we like to shake our fists at Meet the Press and go, ooh, why didn't he do that? It's still, you know, it just doesn't get past a lot of people anymore. It's kind of worn out its welcome. They don't buy it.
This is where it's the perfect storm from 2000, because 2010 was all about, you know, the midterms were all about local bullshit politics, grab ass local. That's why Christine O'Donnell was even, if you look back at her now, you're like, what? How is that even possible that that happened?
Yeah.
But on a national level, a complete fucking joke, but taken seriously enough to be on the ballot in a local election. That's where now we're seeing this clash between the Republicans. Now are looking forward to 2012, looking back at what happened in 2010 and going, oh my God, we fucked ourselves so bad.
Yeah.
Because we made this local thing. We just brought the wackaloon thing completely down on our heads in these local bullshit grab ass elections. And now we've really got to do something on a national stage and we're fucked. We are so fucked. If they had any sense in the world coming out of 2008 with Barack Obama coming into the White House, they should have immediately sprung into Batman super action, found them a legitimate, thinking, reasonable, serious person to head the RNC. Not like the disaster that Michael Steele was for however long, 18 months or whatever it was, and really buckled down and started doing something serious. And they just went the complete opposite way.
That's right. They genuflected in front of the Tea Party wackaloons. The you know, the four of them that are really have any sort of influence. It's not that big. It's just loud. And so what they did is they bowed down. The Republican Party bowed down in front of these people, empowered them, and now the Republican Party has to cater to them. Therefore, they have to say crazy shit. They can't get away with being reasonable, which let's face it, Newt Gingrich was being a little bit reasonable on Meet the Press.
Right.
Other than, you know, the race baiting. But beyond beyond the Southern strategy, policy-wise, Newt Gingrich was making sense.
Moderate. And there's absolutely no room for that.
No.
Anymore.
Meanwhile, they're running up against a president who is just kicking ass. I mean,
he's kicking all kinds of ass.
Call me an Obama bot. I don't give a shit anymore. This guy, you look at the last 3 years, what he has accomplished, and then you put, I mean, the icing on the cake was Bin Laden, of course, and that's a lot of icing.
That is a shit ton.
So you got healthcare, you got stimulus, you got all of these individual bills along the way, you've got an expansion of S-CHIP, you've got, you know, everything.
Auto industry paying back billions.
That's right.
I mean, just massive success story there.
You got ending the Iraq war, which it's over. Folks, stop saying we're in two wars. We're not. Iraq is over. Whatever violence is happening there is happening internally in Iraq. We're done. Combat troops are out. Stop saying there's still a war in Iraq. There is one war going on, and we're participating moderately in Libya. Oh, and by the way, he's going to probably add Gaddafi to his list of accomplishments.
By 2012, yeah.
Yeah.
So, he'll be gone.
So here's the latest polling. Despite a majority believing the country is in worse shape than it was 4 years ago, American voters by a wide margin think President Barack Obama will be reelected in 2012. That's a reversal from how voters felt 6 months ago, according to a Fox News poll released Thursday. Today, 57% of voters think President Obama will be reelected. That's about double the 29% who thought so in December. And the 36% of voters who don't expect him to be reelected is a major shift from the 64% who felt that way previously. This change is likely due, at least in part, to the killing of Bin Laden, blah, blah, blah. Voters were also asked if President Obama deserves to be reelected. By a 50 to 43% margin, voters think he does. Last month, in early April, voters were much less less supportive. Overall, Obama's job approval ratings have improved since the death of bin Laden. Currently, 55% of voters approve and 41% disapprove. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a Fox News poll.
Yeah. Very Rasmussen heavy, I would imagine. Mm.
Yeah, I don't know who conducts their polls. I'm just skimming here. I don't see it. Oh, it's Shaw and Company.
Never heard of it.
Anderson Robbins Research and Shaw and Company. I've never heard of those guys. But, and then, by the way, there was a poll about the O'Reilly versus Jon Stewart debate regarding Common, and the O'Reilly viewers said that Jon Stewart won that debate. I just saw that on Lawrence O'Donnell before the show. Anyway, so that's what they're facing, and as you know, again, as I said, as each Republican sort of steps their big clown shoes out of that little car, they step in a giant pile of their own shit.
Yeah,
I mean that's exactly what's going on. And then
yeah, it's laughable. I mean, right. It would be laughable if this wasn't one half of our polity. That's what that's why I don't understand this sort of Democratic glee over it, is that you got to think of it that one half of the body politic is diseased, mm-hmm. is just terribly, terribly diseased by stupidity and grab ass. And that's just pathetic.
Yeah.
I really hope 2012 it's a foregone, and I've been saying it for months and months and years that it's going to 2012 is going to look like 1964, and I really think it is, and I really hope that the end result of that is a massive shift in the Republican Party towards just being serious.
I
just want them to fucking be serious.
Well, yeah, and
field a serious candidate.
Again, it could go one of two ways, though. They could actually increase the loudness. They could actually double their level of loud noises. I mean, they could go crazier if Barack Obama is reelected in 2012. Or they could become reasonable. It all depends on how they perceive the wingnut right. It depends on how beholden they are to AM talk radio, to Fox News Channel, and to the Tea Party people.
Yeah.
And if they continue to genuflect before that trifecta, they're going to simply continue to look like the morons they are.
Yeah.
I hate to put it that way, but look, let's face it. They stopped being a serious party a while ago, and they've only augmented that standing by, again, bowing to the pressure of the Tea Party and mimicking their ridiculousness.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have to cut the Tea Party loose. I mean, they're just going to have to bury them.
Yeah. And Newt Gingrich is going to have to change his ringtone from this. That's really Newt Gingrich's ringtone.
Mm.
Me, I've got the old-timey phone sound, but that's just me. I'm old-fashioned that way.
Yep.
Gingrich went out of his way to get Dancing Queen. Well, oh, Newt, you big doofus. By the way, correction. Evidently, I was corrected about Newt Gingrich's Confederate thing, his Confederate fantasy book. There was one book in which, the Confederates win at Gettysburg, but they actually don't win the entire war.
So that's all right.
I was mistaken about that. I said something to the effect of Newt Gingrich fantasizing about the Confederates winning the Civil War. No, it was just about Gettysburg. Confederates win at Gettysburg. So I was wrong. So, and I'm not afraid to correct the record.
Wow. Look at you. You're a big guy.
So there you go. Oh, yeah.
We need to do another commercial?
Yeah, I got
to
talk about soap. I kind of did a grease man there. Let's do another commercial. That was like a grease man Roscoe P. Coltrane right there. I can't believe I just conflated those. If you don't know who Grease Man is... Good
Nino
for you.
Griezmann?
Nino Griezmannelli. Hubble Doogie. Let's go south of the border. Vamos, muchachos. Good Lord.
I miss that guy, man.
Yeah. This show, as every week, is brought to you by Bubble Genius, the best goddamn soap you will ever possibly use ever. At www.bubblegenius.com. As I was saying earlier, it's National Bike to Work Week, so make sure to go pick up some of their I Love You Guys NADS talc at bubblegenius.com/I Love You Guys with little hyphens in between. It's like I-love-you-guys.html. They have Balls on the Brain this week. They've been putting together a big order of their O-Balls golf ball soap set. It's a great gift for Father's Day. It'll never be never too early to start planning ahead for Father's Day. Why not get Dad some balls? And that's at bubblegenius.com/o-balls.html. Or you just find it through the main part of the site. Memorial Day is coming up soon, too. Even though President Obama got bin Laden, troops are still out there fighting. So buy the troops a shower in Afghanistan. Go to bubblegenius.com and click the button for buy a soldier a shower. And Bubble Genius will send soldiers in your name a free gift basket filled with lots of great soap for the troops. Oh, and Netroot Nations is coming up. Netroots Nation. So make sure to go and... go to Netroot Nations, and I always want to say Netroot Nations. It's Netroots Nation, where Bubble Genius will have a booth set up, and they will also have free donuts for you.
Oh my God!
And by the way, my old timey phone sound is ringing here. See, it wasn't Dancing Queen. That was proof. My phone was actually ringing there. It was the old timey phone sound. Bubble Genius tries to be good to your skin while also being good to the planet. Most of their packaging is recyclable. They resource their ingredients as close to home as possible, thereby supporting other local and domestic businesses while cutting down on fossil fuel consumption by not having stuff shipped from across the globe, damn you. They do their best to use organic ingredients when they're accessible and affordable, and their soaps are free of chemical detergents and surfactants. It's pure products, pure genius at bubblegenius.com.
The Bob and Elvis Show.
Indeed it is, and your promo code is Bob and Elvis. Get 15% off your entire order at bubblegenius.com. So I think my car is ready. The car was having some steering issues.
Oh dear!
But the power steering is zonked out. So I've got like massive arms now from actually trying to turn the steering wheel.
Nice.
And so I had to bring the car down. So that was the service station. For this great service station, there was the voicemail. And they have evidently either repaired the car or called to say, we can't do it yet. No. They had to put a new pump in there to pump all that power steering goop into the actual system of the car. That's about as technical as I get with car stuff.
I know nothing about cars.
Car power steering goop. Yeah, evidently you and I just missed that.
Yeah. Just do not have that gene at all.
Yeah.
One time I told this story on my old radio show, on the Blog Talk radio show, where it was just me talking to myself. And I was sitting in my office, my home office on the Fort Doom overlooks the driveway, and we're out on this highway, right? And these guys in a Trans Am, one of these hippie 1970s muscle cars, pull up in the driveway. This is the middle of the day, so I'm sure they don't think anybody's home. And when the sun's coming through my window, you can't see me sitting there looking. And they're having car trouble. And I just got so fucking paralyzed with fear, like, oh my God, I can't. What if they come to the door and they need it? And I don't know anything about cars. And I just wanted to run and hide in the closet in case they realize how full of estrogen I am that I can't come down and go, hey, it looks like you're carbon-elated catalytic in this is broken. Yes, thank you.
Right, so you were hoping they would take their shirts off and...
Yeah, well, I did have my binoculars out.
Yeah.
Yeah, when one of them bent over the camshaft there, let me tell you.
Oh, my God. So we know nothing about cars, so don't ask us for car advice on the blog or anything like that.
No, please don't. This isn't car
pumping
advice.
The steering fluid goop into the rest of the car. I have idea where it goes, but that's what I was they explained it to me like that. It's like it needs to be pumped elsewhere. No, I guess so. Well, get a new pump. That's what needs to happen. So, and boom goes the dynamite. I wanted to mention too something on the Newt Gingrich cavalcade of ridiculousness that occurred this week. he was signing a book or something, and some douchebag came up and threw confetti at him. Stop it. Please stop doing that.
Yeah.
That is, you're not helping.
Unless you're Rip Taylor, you know, don't do that.
Yeah, no, we don't need to be assaulting conservatives' wingnuts. We don't need to be doing that. We don't need to be throwing stuff at them.
Or anyone, for that
matter. Or anyone. Just stop with the code pink, no more. Just you can protest all you want, put your grievances in writing. No more running up to Condoleezza Rice with bloody red hands.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing. You're embarrassing us.
Yeah. And it's, it doesn't help any, it doesn't help the cause in any way.
Yeah. I mean, as I was looking at this, I was like, all I saw, and it was gleeful. Everyone was saying, oh, look, ha ha ha, someone threw confetti, ha ha ha, at Newt Gingrich. It's not funny.
No.
It's all I could do was cringe when I saw that because it makes us all look bad. It was like, I went through, I wrote a blog post about this the other day, and I went through and found the other examples of it, and it was equally cringe inducing looking at those. It was like someone ran up and gave Bill Kristol a pie in the face, which again, disagree with Bill Kristol all you want. He's an awful, awful man for believing some of the things he believes. But you know what? He doesn't deserve a pie in the face. If I was standing on stage and delivering an address and someone like charged up to me, I would shit myself.
Oh, absolutely. And then be haunted by it.
Yeah.
I mean, it would haunt you.
Right.
It's a form of psychological terrorism. I mean, it is completely inappropriate. It's just awful. No, awful, awful.
The same thing happened to Ann Coulter. Someone ran up and tried to chuck a pie at her. I think they missed, but still. I think that's even worse, is missing, is not being actually hit, because then you're lucidly observing this attack without it being obscured by pie innards.
Right.
You know. And then there's the shoe tosser, the guy who threw the shoes at President Bush. Terrible. Utterly disrespectful at all. I hated that.
I didn't mind that one so much.
No. And then I looked at the video of the Code Pink people screaming with red paint on their hands running up to Condoleezza Rice in a Senate hearing chamber.
Yeah. Come on, Code Pink.
Stop it.
How can I take you seriously, Code Pink? Yeah. Your name is Code Pink.
I mean, I'm not sure what exactly that accomplishes. If you're not smart enough to be able to make an effective argument in writing or verbally or some other means of rational, sane petitioning of government officials or protesting against media people you don't like, if you can't make a reasonable argument and use your brain, then sit the fuck down. Stay home. Leave your Gallagher, carrot top props at home, your big, stupid fucking paper mache puppets. And you're throwing your pies. I mean, for God's sake, you're throwing a pie at someone. At some point, you're going to have to realize, you know what I just did? I just threw a pie at someone. It's like 1938 vaudeville is what you're doing. Right, with the pie in the face. Well, they used to do that on Laugh-In or something. It was like, it was the greatest fucking thing, pie in the face. Yeah, but you know what? If you do it as a means of political protest, you're a fucking moron. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've had enough of that. If I see another person on Twitter, it's like all the people using winning as a hashtag. Yeah. I'm going to unfollow you. And then anyone who's...
I did it today, but I did it. It was reeking with irony.
Did you really?
It should have. I did it to the Bubble Genius folks.
Well, see, that's if you're using it ironically, because the whole idea is that it is ironic, because when he was using it, it wasn't really, because he's not really winning, he's losing. And so when he was saying winning, he was actually losing, so there's some built-in irony there. So you were using...
Double irony?
It's just like double irony is what it is.
Did I cancel myself out?
You possibly did.
I might have canceled my own irony out.
And I'm going to have to unfollow you on Twitter here in a second.
Oh, fucking hell. Well, you know,
I will not.
You retweeted me or anything in fucking forever, so I didn't think you followed me anymore anyway.
Well, no, I didn't even know you were tweeting. Are you still tweeting? I was retweeting
your
stuff.
You don't have a column just for me?
Well, I know Joy retweeted you recently, didn't she?
Fucking hell.
So we count as that counts as half me then.
Oh, that's pathetic.
I'll retweet you.
Do you stand there and you put your fist together and you say Wonder Twin Powers and you refresh your tweet deck?
That's right.
I throw up on myself.
All right. But I don't know what that was. I mean, you know what I meant to trigger? I meant to do this.
And boom goes the dynamite.
I've barely been on Twitter for the last week anyway.
Yeah,
because we went and saw the big national park over on the Big Island. We saw the big Kilauea, the big volcano.
Mm.
And you want to talk about a bargain at twice the price? Cost $10 to get into that national park. It's enormous, and there are enormous, it's enormous amounts of visual splendor. I mean, you can literally walk right up to the rim of the goddamn volcano as it's still burning and smoldering.
Yeah, I know. I've been there.
It's staggering.
Yeah, I've taken the helicopter tour of pretty much every island.
We also walked up to where the lava flow went right over the road. There used to be this road, and there's literally like houses abandoned in the middle of all of this lava. And some people, one like homestead still out there in the middle of the lava field, completely cut off. So they've got a windmill generating their power, evidently, and they've got a catchment. Catching a big basin in their yard, catching all of their water from the rain.
Cool.
And that's evidently how they survive. But I mean, it was really amazing. The National Park Service is just such a valuable resource, and so paying $10 to get in, I would have paid $100 to get into that place. That was just phenomenal. Hawaii Volcanoes National Park.
It is
stunning. I love it. I love the national parks. I got my passport book, too. My 25th anniversary passport stamp book at the gift shop.
Oh, my God. You're a nerd.
Yeah, I'm a nerd.
You're a national parks nerd. Oh, like, actually, Peanuts got one of those. One of those exact things that you got. She got it at Mount Rushmore, which is a national park.
And it's the it is the 25th anniversary of the passport stamp book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's got that exact thing. So but she's nine.
Okay. Yeah. I was so proud of it. I actually tested the stamp first before I stamped it. And
oh my God!
There were three hopeless. Different stamps. There was the 25th anniversary of the stamp of the actual passport stamp that I stamped in. There were three different ones for that one. Plus the there's a historic trail that's also part of the national park. So I got that stamp too. So, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I'm very much a nerd. So, yeah, we wanted to keep the show to an hour. By the way, we couldn't because you may have heard Elvis auto-tuning in there occasionally. We literally had to stop the show twice today to reset Skype. So, F you, Microsoft.
Yeah.
We're now on Skype.
Somehow they've got their diseased Microsoft germs all over my Skype, and it's just not working.
So don't email me to tell me that Elvis was occasionally auto-tuning because we know. That's Skype. In fact, at one point, Skype just utterly disconnected you, right?
Yes, it just crapped out of me completely.
Rat bastards.
Fuck.
Microsoft sucks.
You dick!
Right.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Boom goes the dynamite.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Bazinga.
So we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Drive safely. You fudge with us, you fudge with the best. And another show next Wednesday and or Thursday.
Yeah, whenever.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Boom goes the dynamite.